Whatever you want to go out with, my guy.
All right, fellas. That's what Giles Jensen, Nine Baronary Pence. I don't know. I was trying to come up with something. You bastard. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Herbal Synergies, the shop. I'm your host, Sinji, with my co-host, as always, Bay.
What's up, everybody?
This bastard. A little sooner than I thought.
Oh, yeah, I'm acting a fool today, baby.
Irby has discovered sounds.
Yep.
On Discord.
Yeah.
What's going on, Irby? What's up with you?
Same old dog. Just living life. Life living me.
Damn, life living you, dog.
Yeah, I'm just trying to make it through each and every day. Yeah, that's how it'll be.
You got a flavor this week?
Yeah. I'm going to give New Luffy some love this week.
New Luffy?
Yep, New Luffy.
Who the hell is New Luffy?
Kian. Because he about worse than Luffy.
Kian?
But, you know, yeah. The Aristocrats of Otherworldly Adventures.
Oh, that OP little... I forgot that's his name.
Yeah, he's...
I'll just cringe with the sound of his voice acting and... I forgot. Yeah, I just watched it yesterday. I forgot.
His voice is someone else. I forget who it was, but I know that voice from somewhere, but I can't think of it. But anyhow, it was when he was fighting the C-rank jerks, and he almost slips up and tells them that I'm a high school student. And he's like, oh, I'm a so-and-so from the land or whatever. I was like, oh, man. Yeah. But, yeah, he was fighting them, and my man caught it like how wasn't like how Goku stopped Trunks' sword.
Mm-hmm.
But like he caught it between his fingers and then like he just threw him out the club. I was like, damn.
It amazes me with his more mature mind that he's always like over 100 surprised about things.
Yeah. And how he just overdoes some stuff without like thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like my man ain't even do no type of research before he made them pouches, but.
Oh, Kim.
Yeah.
Well, my flavor, let me get the name of the show correct, is from I Get Stronger the More I Eat. It's a webtoon I'm reading, and in this particular moment, dude took on a quest to eliminate or drive off griffins in the area. And when he did it, the concierge lady at the desk said that basically he's not getting credit for it, that they're going to give it to someone else. And he goes, who's giving it to someone else? She's like, I can't tell her that. And he grabs her and he's like, you can't see the guildmaster. I'm like, oh, so the guildmaster is the one who is giving away the credit. And then she goes, he would never see someone like you. You're just a C-rank adventurer. And he goes, oh, he won't have to. I won't have to go see him. He's going to come see me. And then he breaks her arm and makes her scream. So by the time the guildmaster comes down, she's with a broken arm on the ground. There's a dude dead. And guildmaster's son charges at him. And the MC kills the guildmaster's son. So when the guildmaster questions him, he goes, who are you, what is this, what's going on? And he's like, you took the credit for the griffins away from me. And he goes, so that's what this is about? And the guildmaster apologizes, but like in rage, before he explains it to himself. And the MC was just like, oh, okay. And he starts walking away. He's like, wait, that's it? after you did all this and did all what? She said you wouldn't. I wasn't able to see you, so I made her say you came see me. That dude over there attacked me, so I attacked him in self-defense, and your son tried to kill me, so I killed him. As for the rewards, I never cared about any of that. But once something is mine, it is mine and cannot be taken without my permission. You've apologized. I will go now. I was like, damn. Man didn't even care.
Double down.
It was just a principle.
Yeah, the principle. Huh. That's awful. Just killing random folks.
It'd be like that, man. Listen, you're saying, you're over here going, I'm going. All right, let me stop.
Yeah, I think you need to stop. I've created a monster.
I couldn't think of the line exactly. But all right, what was it we were going with first?
We were going to go with some buddy daddies first.
Buddy daddies. A little confession. I thought I did, but apparently I didn't watch that last episode. And then once you were talking about it, I was like, I didn't watch this. I thought I watched this. I didn't watch this.
You didn't watch season 1, episode 5, Crunch Time?
I watched, I didn't watch the one where she went to daycare the first time.
That was last week's one.
Yep. But I'm all caught up. I watched that one, the next one, and the one after that.
Okay. So you're good to go.
I'm good to go.
All right. So, Daddy Buddies, season 1, episode 5, Crunch Time. So, they go get some jobs from the handler, Q. Basically, it's mostly background checks and scouting. They receive a call from daycare. Apparently, there was a virus outbreak. And so she can't go to daycare for the next little whiles. And so
COVID.
They get an assignment where they have to do job related, you know, every kid's ones where it's like, hey, what do your parents do? So it's pretty funny.
I don't recall ever having to do that. Did you?
I think I did like once our parent teacher school day something, but I think they discontinued that like a while ago. But you kind of could tell the writers were dating themselves with this one because they know. And then so let's see. Yeah, so Rachel hits a SpongeBob and dip out, but like Mary catches him and interrogates him. I'm like, oh man. So then they end up staying up all night in the row. Kizuki, he's like, yeah, watch Mary Ray. And so Mary escapes because Ray was sleeping. And she tells my boy Kizuki. I'm like, oh, man. Like, how you a spy? You don't even know you're being followed, especially by a little kid. So she goes looking for him. And she runs into a dog and she plays with him. And then she, like, loses him. I'm like, oh, man. You done lost the dog. Dog got sidetrack. And then so she bumps into that creepy killer guy from before. And then my man Q sees her outside of the shop because she was in the area, the general vicinity. And then he takes her in. And so Ray and Kizuki's searching for Mirei. And then they go to the shop. And he's like, oh, Papa. And he's like, Mary, don't call her Papa. I'm from this weird man. And so then basically they discuss some business. Q's already suspicious. He's like, called him Papa.
I think he already knew.
I think he knew. He definitely knew before. He knew as soon as the first time they went in there, it was like, oh, did he have a daughter? He was already on guard. That man's a handler. He knows things.
So, like, to me, he seems like the scruffy dude that Twilight goes to for, like, information, but more like a serious character. Because a lot of the show seems, like, inspired by Spy Family.
Yeah. Which, I thought this one was going to be closer to Spy Family.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, but it's not as cute as Spy Family, but it's still okay.
Agreed.
Yeah, which I thought was funny. They start discussing business, and then Q asks if it would be easier to if the child was out of the picture. And they were like, he was like, "What? You're not going to kill the child?" That's what he thought he meant in his head, but he was like, "Oh." He's like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "I'll watch the kid." And he's like, "Yeah." It's like, "Oh, thank you, whatever, you know." So then they have one more day to till the deadline. And then Q makes Miri a drink. She likes it. And then Kizuki gets flashes of Miri marrying Q, which I'm like, you just jumped from a real stream. She's like a little kid. Now she's getting married. Not even like the grown up Miri version, just her now. I'm like, that's a little.
You think little you crazy. Saw? Did you watch the episode after this?
No.
So wait till you see that episode.
Yeah, yeah. I'll probably try to get to that today.
Mm.
Or tomorrow.
Mm.
But who knows?
Ooh.
But yeah, so then, yeah. He was like, "Yeah, right." Ray's like, "Yeah, Q is good with the ladies." So, and then she asks Q about the jobs that the parents does. And she's like, "Oh, Kisuki's like, oh, he's a comedian. And Ray's a Middle Eastern oil baron." Which was hilarious. A little hilarious joke because they're neither one of those things.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then Miri tells him that tells Q that she wants to be Kisuki and Ray forever. Which I think that's still the deal of how he felt about her and, like, what he knew.
Mm-hmm.
But Kizuki's like, oh, he's still trying to play it off. And Q's like, stop it. It's over. Give it up. So then they go to parent-teacher school day. And to get everything, everyone's like, oh, they got money, money folks. Like, they got money. We got to get to them. And then Q tells him about the job and the roles. He's like, yeah, you can't expect to just be in a life like this, that, and the other. Like, you know, the rules, the roles, stuff that happens. And so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Mm-mm-mm. It's craziness.
It was a warming episode. Like, Buddy Daddy just seems like Spy Family meets Slice of Life.
Yeah, pretty much.
There's no real story. It's kind of just, here's this family, and here's a whole bunch of comedic moments.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely thought it would be something a little different.
But it could have been something a little different.
I ain't mad at it.
Just got a ton of lazy writers out there right now.
Sure do.
Hopping on some coattails.
Mm-hmm, riding the wave.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I think there was an Easter egg at the end of the episode. I can't remember now, but that's okay.
Maybe you'll think of it later.
I probably won't.
Excuse me. All right, so moving on to Revenger. Episode 10, Nowhere to Run. All right, in this episode, we started off with Yuen and Pajama Cop speculating what's going on, and they're trying to formulate a plan, and the whole time this scene is going on, I'm like, there's no way Pajama Dude sucks at darts this much, right? So, I guess he did, I don't know. But, in the midst of this, the Soji and Kurama's, where they stay, got made, so they can't stay there anymore. And after that, there's a meeting that the Shishido dude held, and he had like important people, but he also had Yuen there, and Yuen and him were having like a little exchange of words back and forth about like their definition of art and shit like that. A lot of this episode seemed like set up for the next two. It was like nothing crazy going on. Like Soji and Neo were in Teppa's place, and Teppa was making, what was he making? Did you write down what he was making?
I
think it was like something idea. Turnips or something.
Yeah.
It was like a vegetable thing that they had the previous day, and Soji was complaining, like, there's like fish right outside your hut here, and they're like, and so Teppa
was, yeah,
like,
yeah, it was a vegetable.
Yeah.
They're like, we're doing vegetable whatever again.
Mm-hmm. And like Soji was like, there's fish right outside. And Teppa was like, if you're not gonna help out or anything, the least you can do is not behave like a child or something. If you're gonna behave like a child, you're gonna eat what I make you.
Yeah.
And Yuen goes to meet the priest dude at the chapel where dude forgave him. I think that's a load of crock. But
they're definitely cooking up a scheme in the works.
Yeah, and the chapel knows about Shishido's plan to distribute opium, so they're like intentionally not doing anything about it. And then we kind of sealed a deal on Shishido being our next target. And after a moment between you and Kurama, it is revealed that Kurama plans to kill... It seems like he plans to kill himself after he resolves the opium issue.
Yeah, you said there's nothing left to live for.
Mm-hmm.
So he talked about, there might be nothing for Kurama left, but what about, name was Taizo?
Taishi, something like that?
Taishi, yeah, one of those ones.
Mm-hmm. And in the midst of this, Soji ends, Soji went to, like, the gambling hall in a bad mood. Like, this, to Soji, Kurama is the reason they're going through so much trouble. So he goes off to gamble where a lady was pretty much rigging the game so he would win. And by the time he put two and two together, the lady turned out to be the nun from the chapel. And she was like trying to set him up and was like, you took the money, you got to do the job. I'm like, hey, you forced the money on me. So the chapel, I feel like the chapel was trying to set up Soji to turn against our crew.
He might. I doubt it, though. He's too loyal.
Yeah, I think he's been very conflicted the last couple episodes. So like, I feel like it could be a thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was that episode. It's mainly setting up for the last two.
Yeah, I didn't have much notes on it because I didn't feel like some things were worth taking notes.
I feel you.
Yeah.
I get that feeling a lot, and then I end up with, I thought something worth mentioning was. So you're probably right. I just suck at taking notes. When the scene's good, I don't write. And the scene's not, I try to remember, like, write something. You should write that in a little detail. Okay, whatever. I'll get better, maybe.
Maybe in time. Who knows? Yeah. So
moving on up
to the west side. Finally got a piece of the. Okay, so the Aristocrats, Otherworldly Adventure, Serving Gods Who Went Too Far, Season 1, Episode 2. My tutors are adventurers. So they see, they show Kian. He falls out onto one of his tutors is walking up. And she's like, I thought this was a little funny here. I was like, oh, this is funny-ish. But so she walks up. She's like, oh, hey, I don't have any milk for you. I'm not your mother. I'm like, oh. Okay. That, you know, I guess that's one of their little satire bits they do.
This has some tickle bitties, though.
Yeah, so... Then we get introduced to the tutors. Millie, she's the red-haired woman. D-rank adventurer. And then Mina, she's the elf. She's the D-rank magic adventurer. And so, it is Millie's job to teach Ken how to battle. And we find out that they do a mock battle, and we find out that he has the God's blessing of that. And then she's like, I'm not gonna lose a 5-year-old. And the man was like doing all sorts of moves. And I'm like, oh yeah, you can definitely lose a 5-year-old. Considering he's like 18 and a high schooler.
And O fucking P.
Yeah. Well, he probably more than 18. Let's see, because let's say he was, what'd you get to high school when we were like 14?
Yeah, but I don't know what age they get to high school in, because they have like, they be looking like high schoolers and middle schoolers the way they depict people in anime. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, because Jotaro looked like a grown man, and he just entered high school. I was like, wow, okay. That man got more muscles than my arms right now. And you want me to believe he's in high school? Stop it. So
14. They start at the same time.
Yeah, so let's say he's already 19, so he's probably older than her anyway, and world life experiences. So, yeah. So then she fights him, and now he's going to be taught by Mina, the elf, using magic. And she's like, oh, yeah, we're going to start with the basics. And he's like, oh, yeah, I can already do this, this, and this. And he shoots stuff out of his hands and fire and water. And he does all of this without incantations, which people can't even do. They need to say something. They could shorten down their incantations to do certain stuff, but they just haven't. They're not that advanced to do that for some people, which he's on next level. So then he does an item box. He's like, yeah, you guys, don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. Because they were sweating. And he pulls out a towel for them. They're like, what? You can use item magic too? Da-da-da-da-da. And then we find out that my boy can't really train at the house. Because if he does, he's going to destroy it because he's too strong.
It's too strong.
Yeah. So then they go out and they start training because he's never been outside the castle walls, and they get attacked. He's doing some stuff. He uses intermediate magic, and he blew a whole crater into a rock that he was attacking on. And I'm like, oh, man, this kid is just OP. He just gets stronger and stronger. I ain't even seen him train yet. So I kind of disappointed in my boy not training. So, but yeah, I did study. I was like, okay. So then they end up getting attacked by, this thing looked like a fox to me, but they called it a rabbit. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know what it looked like to me.
It definitely looked like a fox kind of, or fox-like. But yeah, so they end up attacking and Kian ends up killing it. And then Mina's like, oh yeah. She's like, yeah, let's go hunting for some more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she uses her box, her magical powers. Like, oh yeah, there's stuff over here 300 meters away. And then Kian's like, oh, let me try it. And he does it. He's like, yeah, there's four of them 300 meters away at this o'clock. And she's like, wow, you did it on your first try. I'm like, yeah, of course he would do it on his first try. But yeah, he essentially had a whole bunch of magic too, so he can let it all flow out and he can go see stuff.
Of course he'll do it his first try.
Yeah, no question about it. So then she's like, they were asked, are you really 5? And he's like, yep, I just had my baptism the other day. Which is a funny joke. So then they go, he sees the force of monsters. Like, oh, don't go in there. And that's where strong monsters leave. And then we get the history of why the castle walls are so built up, reinforced, is to protect it from the force of monsters. And this is part we found out my boy, super OP. He gets 100 times the experience rate for whatever he does.
Yo. he has not looked into his abilities.
He hasn't. He just kind of shows up. I'm like, 100 times? I'm like, that is crazy. Yeah, so. So then the next day I stopped by a guild because, like, yeah, you're too strong. We got to get some jobs because these monsters are too weak for you. And we meet Rudy. He's a fox-like creature. Well, he says puppy dog ears she has. And then she's like, oh, yeah, we go fight. Y'all can go fight some wolves. We have those available. And this is where trouble starts. They get accosted by some sea rake adventurers.
Mm-hmm.
And they want her to pour them a drink. I'm like, pour your own dadgum drink. you don't need to wait on hand and foot. And so they end up snatching up the women's. And Ken, to eat her a touch of face, Ken's like, yeah, I'm sorry, sir, but you can't interrupt my training today. And essentially, all the fight breaks out. And my man, like, is whooping guys so bad. Practicing his martial arts, that the C rank adventurer pulls out a sword, and they're like, "No, he's just a child." And I'm like, "He is no ordinary child." So then, he does it, and then this is the part where my flavor came in, and he's like, "Oh, I'm a high school," and he's like, "Oh, I'm just Kian from the land of this," and then he asks the guy to apologize, and he doesn't. So Kian's like, I gotta teach you a lesson now. And this is where he catches the sword between his two fingers and throws him out. And then he asks the other dude, he's like, do y'all want a spanking? And they're like, yeah. He's like, you can try, but aren't you worried? What's gonna happen to your friend? And he kicks him out the bar too.
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny. And then, so his tutors.
Bastard.
Yeah. He decided to extend the tutoring. Yeah, declined to extend her tutoring. So 3 years have passed. He's grown up. He's gotten better. So he decided to get them a magical bag because in the beginning of the tutoring, they said that they were going to try to get enough money to get a magical bag made. So he goes out hunting and in the adjacent area. And the materials he needs is an earth dragon and blood ogre, which he finds those real quick.
And dispatches of them real quick.
Yeah, he uses fire magic. And one of the lookouts is like, oh, what's over there? And then he blows him up. And then another one's over there, he blows him up. He's like, we're under attack. He's like, that must be a really big monster. And so Kian's wiping off his brow. And then like he's like, oh, teleport. Like, he teleported, and the handkerchief just fell there. So then everyone rides out, and they're like, oh, let's go see. And there's no monster there. But the king recognizes his son's handkerchief. So, yeah, that was funny. And then so the next day, the last day, he gives them the bags. He crafted them. And she's like, yeah. These are supposed to be bags I made for you. And everyone's like, oh, but this bag, like, you know, this is a national level treasure since you made it to hold the house, the palace. It's like any more than that. And they're like, oh, people will come after us with these types of bags. But yeah, so I was like, oh, yeah, that's funny. But then we found out that he makes it so that only those three could touch the bags without it being as heavy as what's in there.
Yo, that's crazy. Because you could put a whole mansion in there.
Yeah, and so it's like, that makes it even higher level than national treasure. So.
Freaking. Yeah. Kian.
Yeah.
Whatever the hell his name is.
Kian.
Old Pete bastard. Now, this is a lot of setup, though. I don't know what age we're supposed to be on for him, but next episode's a setup as well.
Because one of the previews, I'm like, oh, that man looked like he's like 19, 18, 19. He might be 16 or something in there, growed mm-hmm. up. So we'll see.
Yeah. But I think you'll get a couple laughs out of the next episode.
Yeah, I might. But yeah, so then at the end of the episode, his father confronts him about him taking on the ogre. He's like, you got to learn your abilities of your limits. And this, that, and I'm like, the man destroyed two ogres. So, two animals. Which a high level A rank adventurer party can't even do by themselves. So, I think he knows his abilities pretty well.
I think he knows he's OP.
Yeah. Yeah, so, it'd be good. Now on to the card of the highs.
On to high card. Episode 11, Chris. All right, Chris is driving and he's picturing like memories with his family. They were in the car, him, his dad, his sister. Mom was already gone at this point, but they go to the music park and that's where the memory of the Ferris wheel got developed. And at some point, you cannot convince me otherwise. I'm pretty sure what Chris was looking at was some Power Rangers.
It's possible.
But then a fire happened, and this is a little backstory to Chris. A fire happened somehow, and Chris got stuck in the middle of it, and that's how we ended up with the situation where his dad used the four of a kind to save Chris's life.
Yeah, bomb went off at the toy store.
Yeah. So, Chris is reminiscing and, like, thinking of the past and blah, blah, blah. And, like, he also, like, at some point thinks to himself, Finn reminds him of how he used to be. So, bro, you were, like, 6.
Yeah.
Finn, a full grown ass man, bro. What? So, it's just, Chris says Finn reminds me of how he used to be, and it just feels like, lying to Finn feels like he's lying to himself. Somehow, Finn ended up at the dealership, and Chris had Chelsea bring him a package, which contained the other 3 cards. And he kisses Chelsea and then like says he's got a date. She slaps him and like she saw like the scars on his back and she wondered.
Man was just messed up.
Yo, for real. So there was that goodbye. And now Chelsea's worried about Chris, and Chris is trying to escape. Now he's trying to escape the Pinocchio crew and the authorities. And for some reason, the Klondikes are helping Chris. And my theory is that once Chris is used as 4 of a kind, they're just going to take all 4 cards. That was my theory.
Mm-hmm.
And Lindsay paid Finn a visit, and they had a heart-to-heart on how Lindsay, it's not that Lindsay didn't want Finn to be there because Lindsay thought that they were better off. It was just because he wanted Finn to find another home. The Sun and Fields is just a pit stop where we help you find a better home at some point. And I guess Lindsay didn't want to feel like Finn was being held back by them.
Yeah.
So then Finn realizes what Chris is doing, and then he's got to go. He's just like, that idiot. And he's like rushing to the hospital. And when he finally gets there, Chris is gone. He calls him and he's like, don't try to stop me. And blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm doing this. And as he sees him driving off, Owen, I believe his name is, shows up out of nowhere, a character we have not been introduced to. At least I don't think I was.
Mm-mm.
And he snipes Chris, like, right in the head.
I definitely thought.
I was like, yo, he got him, but he was already wearing high calorie.
I definitely thought he was dead.
Yeah, I was like, oh, God.
I was like, dang, he ain't even get a chance to get there.
Yo, the ending to this anime feels very abrupt. I will let you know. because it feels like there's some unresolved issues, and you'll see when you get to the end of episode 12. But Chris was wearing the high calories card, and he played the card, and he kept driving off, and Finn got fired. That's what we ended the episode with, Finn getting fired.
Yeah. A few other little things that I want to touch about. And we find out that the cards themselves can't be destroyed by conventional means. That's why he shot Finn in the heart, because he knew that it would knock him out but not hurt him. That's why he aimed for the card.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, he shot my mans. So, but yeah, Chris wants to use the X-Blind for his sister. Let's see. Yeah, Chris got put on the wanted list. And then Bond's also doing an assault on people, trying to get the cards back.
Yeah, I think he just wants to let Chris use the four of a kind and then take all four or five cards.
Yeah, and then the police tried to kill Chris on sight. I thought that was crazy. Yeah. So then I also I figured out that Chris was the one that leaked information that they were going to be on the train to those two lowlifes because he needed those cards.
He needed distraction. Yep.
Yeah, I was like, because I thought about the previous episode, I was like, how did people know? And then I thought, oh yeah, Chris did. I did think Chris did it. So after everything shaped up, but yeah, I actually had watched this one last week, but then I was like, I couldn't say too much. So it might be abrupt, but this is one where I can see the ending does something where it's like all the cards are gone, they get collect them all, and then all of a sudden something happens and they get scattered again. They're like, oh, we gotta go again with the crew. I don't know,
you'll see. I don't know how you're gonna feel about it. You'll see.
Yeah but yeah, I enjoyed the episode. That was the last. Is that the last one now?
The next one's the last one. Yep.
Dang. Yeah, I'll get to that sometime. Finn. But yeah, let me talk about the Jutsu real quick, and I think that's all she wrote, my guy.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So, yeah, Gojo's not really dead, but he's in some trouble. His domain was destroyed. And Sukuna actually is stronger in regards to curse techniques. Essentially, his domain right now has been slicing up Gojo. I'm like, oh man, he's just slicing and dodging and slicing. So, but yeah, not much. Then Gojo uses simple domain and uses red on Sukuna. So. Nice little fight going on. Got you excited.
Uses red on Sukuna.
Trying to see what comes out next. But yeah.
Nothing but the best.
Maybe. Might bring out the worst in one.
It could. Wait. It could not. Hey, listen. Ending's possible.
Yeah, it is. You're possible.
Now, I know another children come out. Did you read either of them?
Just go ahead and talk about what we'll talk about, dog.
Did you read children?
Hey, go ahead and talk about what you want to talk about.
Nah, if you ain't reading it, I ain't talking about it because I ain't going to remember everything.
You might not.
It was like 50, it was like 50 fucking, pages.
You do a spot up job.
I don't remember what it was about.
Well, we can just leave that to next week then.
All right. There's another one. I'm that's like, hold on. How long is this one?
47. 50. Yeah.
It's another 50. Oh, man. I fucking hate you. That was appropriate.
Yeah, I know. Comedic effect is something I do.
All right. What do I? I'm not really watching anything right now. All my time goes into fucking Zelda. All right. Do you got anything you want to say?
I think I'm good to go. Not much. Yeah. Whatever you want to go out with, my guy.
All right, fellas. That's what. Gals, gents, and nine baronary pence. I don't know. I was trying to come up with something. You bastard. That's gonna do it for this episode. Catch you guys next week. I want to do the damn it. Peace.
And peace.